Be the name of the Lord. Abba, Father, truly, Lord, we are crying out today. You plant our feet on higher ground. And Lord, as prayers on this to upward way, Father. And each day, Lord, new heights we are gaining every day, truly. As you move on with you, Father, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, Father, Lord, grant us strength, Father, to overcome each day. The trials and the temptation, the persecution, and whatever come our way, Father. Whatever hurdles, Father, that is placed before us, give us the strength, O Father, to cross over a hurdle after another, Lord. We ask for your grace now, Father, even as you approach thy word. A little nugget here, a little nugget there, Father, that we learn of you, of the beautiful treasure of yours, Father. So, the Lord, we pray that we get close to you, that we have this relationship with you, that truly you are our Father. And we thank you, Father, for giving us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And that's for that reason of the cross that we are here today. So, Father, as you approach thy word now, Lord, bless. And may you, Lord, give us a spirit of hearing, O Lord, and understanding. In the wisdom of God our Father, and all that we need to know in our relationship with you, Father, as your children, and you are our Father. For this, Lord, we ask in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. Now, we have been through a series on zealous devotions, and this will be the last. And we're going to finish these two chapters, chapter 5 and chapter 6, and then that these two chapters, many verses are self-explanatory, so it's not difficult to understand. But then the time when we read through the scripture, a verse or two, and we don't look a little closer at the words, because underneath is actually the hidden treasure and the mystery of God's revelation that he wants us to understand. Now, one of the best books that I know in the Bible is this book of Galatians, because it dealt with our the kind of devotion that we should have. And we should be zealous, of course, in our relationship to God and our devotion to God and to the truth and to the Word. But there is on the other side of the fence, there is these zealous devotions of those who are whom Paul called false brethren. And that's a very strong word that he used. They are brethren, but they are false. And so what does it mean? That means to say that they are not on the side of the fence that we are on. So they are on the other side. You know, so calling them false brethren. And even those who would stand or sit on the fence, taking no side of the way they wanted to stand, they ought to stand. You know, we should not be found standing on the fence. We should be either on one side or the other. So we're going to finish this, chapter 5 and 6. And I'll just pick up some of the important verses and give some understanding to the verse. Amen? Alright. So now we finished last week with the first verse of chapter 5, which should be part of chapter 4, because of Paul's conclusion when he's trying to make the saints in Galatia to understand concerning the law and faith. Alright, so he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty while with Christ, and make us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, in this book of Galatians, Paul brings to remind reminded the people in his epistle to the Galatians, several times in the Bible, or in this epistle, you find that he talks about the law and grace, the bondage of those who are in the law, and the freedom, the liberty of those who are in the faith of Christ Jesus or in the cross. And he repeats a couple of times, you know that. And in other epistles of Paul, he tend to repeat, they tend to bring to memory the things that he taught the people in his missionary work throughout Asia Minor. So, once again, when we come to this chapter, we begin with verse 2 as a new thought that Paul had. He said, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you will be circumcised, Christ profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is adapted to do the whole law." Here again, you see that, right? If we have looked back in the first four chapters, you'll find that Paul talks about the law and grace, and those who do the law, they should continue doing the law and keep the law. And here again, he is saying the same thing. Alright, so now, once again, he said, "I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is adapted to do the whole law." That is to say that if you are circumcised and you are wanting to keep the law, then you are bound to the law. You should keep all those laws. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, remember this, though we all know that Paul's ministry was to the Gentiles, like you see here, the saints in Galatia, another epistle, the saints in Ephesus, the saints in Thessalonica, the saints at Corinth. We know these epistles to the Gentiles, but do not forget that though he wrote this epistle, or his epistle, as you know, there are the Jews there, they are converted to the faith as well. They are not many, but they are. There were. Okay? A small percentage of them. Now, Galatia is a region, a very vast region. And I don't know how many thousands of people, you know, that actually were converted to the faith. Or let's say they are scattered out there in the region of Galatia. You have a family of 10, you know, another place, a family of 20, or a group of 20. And so scattered out. Let's say there are 1,000 of these converts scattered out in this vast region of Galatia. And Paul wrote this letter to them. Now, don't forget that there are elders taking care of these groups in all these scattered places. Don't think in your mind that they are just one big church where, like, you know, your charismaticism, you see thousands of people gather in one stadium or in a big hall. Here we have the bigger one, I think it's considered 12,000 people or something like that. Here their membership, but I don't know how many thousand gather on one Sunday. You know, it isn't like that. Of course, Paul's epistles to Galatians will be read among those saints there. The elders will read it upon his congregation. All those saints in Galatians. So when Paul go, you know, when Paul should Paul visit Galatia, he will visit the homes. He will gather the people as many as possible. So again, this I want you to know. Alright? So when Paul wrote this, remember that they are also converted Jews. Christ is of no effect unto you whosoever you are. And now you know that because the false brethren that came from Jerusalem have propagated this to the Gentile who believe on the law that they should be circumcised. Do you understand? And of course some of them were influenced by these false brethren and they got circumcised. And they probably felt, yes, this a doctrine of circumcision that we, you know, that we need to do it, we need to be circumcised and we should learn to keep the law. And Paul then make this remark to say that whosoever you are, you know, that are circumcised, Christ is of no effect to you. If you are justified by the law, then you are fallen from grace. If you believe that and you hold to it, then you are fallen from grace. Now, I know here some of you, I know John is circumcised, right?
No.
Who is not? Oh, Jimmy is circumcised. Jimmy is circumcised. My grandson Adam, he is circumcised. But that is, that's natural. For people who want to get, you know, some, like in America, a lot of them believe that circumcision is good. So they circumcise the baby after 8 days of birth or something like that, and you don't. You see, that's alright, but it has nothing to do with the gospel, nothing to do with the faith. Okay? But in those days, yeah, this is what was propagated. They want the converted Gentile to be circumcised. Verse 5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And this is what I want to expound on. You know, it's strange. Paul here said that, for we through faith wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now I want you to look at the verse. If you want to underline it, yeah. Wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now why do we wait for the hope of righteousness? The hope of righteousness. Are we not already imputed righteousness? But why is it Paul talking about, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith? Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So sometimes it's kind of strange when you read the text and wonder what on earth, you know, why is Paul talking like this in many places? I have expounded this already in one of my messages. So I want you to let you remember, bring it to me, your memory, if you have forgotten. Or perhaps many times we read some books or listen to a sermon and it just passed by and you don't understand. Alright, Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, again, whenever you read the text of Scripture, I look for some keywords. Okay, here it says, which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh. It's in our walk. Remember? Well, did not the Bible in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, did the Bible say, Enoch walked with God? Right? Enoch walked with God and he was not found. So you see, it's the walk. So here in the Scripture, that's why I said your Bible, don't disinfect your Bible. Okay? Don't clean it up with some soap as if so that your Bible is so clean and neat and your Bible should be a Bible too, as I said, make use of it. You know, I don't know whether you have, you know, if you ever been to a carpenter shop, and if you look at their tools, if the carpenter is really good, and he has very good business, you find that the tools of most of the tools will worn out. You can see some, the sign of wears and tears, like a hammer. You know, when you hammer, you know, over time, you know, see what happened to the base of the hammer, or the head of the hammer. Isn't it? So the same thing with the saw. You know, anything. So, if your Bible is a Bible, is if I look at a Bible, it's clean, you know, and nice, and something is very wrong. That means you're not using the tools. Use it. Whatever you want to do with the Bible, write it down, put notes on it. That's always encourage people. Okay, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus make us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now I want you to really open your Bible, okay, up there. Alright. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, for that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. What is this law here? Now, people will think that the law, okay, there's a lot of Moses, because we are Christians, we are the Bible, we all, ultimately we think of the law of Moses. You know? But it just says the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. It's not just only the law of Moses, because after all, the Galatian people, or those in Rome that has this, we are reading here, it is an epistle to the Romans. So they weren't Jews. So what law are you talking about here? So when we talk about the law, it's a general term. To the Jew, they will be thinking of the law of Moses. Right? And in general, there are so all kinds of law. So we should fulfill the law. Whatever law it is. Well, take for example, if you drive a car. If you own a car and you're driving a car. And you know there is a traffic laws out there. Right? So you see you're approaching a traffic light and you see this amber. Never mind. When you turn there, just go through. Are you fulfilling the law? You're not fulfilling the law. You're breaking it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? A double line, you should not, you make a U-turn in a double line or even cross the double line. And there's no parking sign when you see all this dotted line on the side. Do you understand what I'm saying? And of course, there's always the debate over this kind of a law, whether we can do it or not, maybe temporarily, we just want to do that. Speeding, for example, is a habitual thing among many Christians. It's just speed. It says signs 90 km/h. And we just go 100, 110. Isn't that true? Come on. Those of you drivers, you all know you're guilty too, huh? I was guilty when I had a motorcycle. You see? So but when you talk about this law, for that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. God's law. Not just the law of Moses, but the law that we see around us. We know that there are many kinds of law were not written. But whatever the law of Moses is there, that we know the basic Ten Commandments, they are there that can be amplified. You remember what Jesus said about the law? He said, what did the law say? Thou shalt not kill. But when you hate a brother, okay, you look at a brother and you hate him, what have you done? What have you committed? You have committed murder. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, or nor shall not commit adultery, correct? But he said, when you look after the woman, lust after her, you have done it. So in the law of Moses, though there are 10 just there, but they are all and they are amplified. Many categories of the law that we have can be found there. It is just the basic. You know, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We don't fulfill the law with our flesh. Oh, you need to be circumcised. So yeah, in the flesh we circumcised. Huh? So we are walking according to the carnal self, to this natural fleshy man, instead of the Spirit. Do you see? So what is circumcision in us as Christians? Huh? The circumcision of our heart. That we no more walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit of the law of life. Okay. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but then they are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And here Paul again, remember? So, Paul is always out there telling the people about the law and grace, flesh and Spirit, how you should walk. How this Christian out there in his time, writing this the epistle to them, and it is for us today. Now, We read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 5 that, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now I want to say this, we all know that Abraham was imputed righteousness. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 5. We see over there what was written there by Paul. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. For to him that work not, but believe on him that justify the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So if faith is imputed upon us, upon a person who believed, if faith was already imputed upon Abraham, and upon Abraham was imputed righteousness. Right? You remember, huh? Abraham was imputed righteousness. So if Abraham was imputed righteousness, why is Paul writing in chapter 5, verse 5, Galatians, looks kind of strange. Wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Right, let's define a little bit of what is righteousness. Righteousness, first of all, is not the basis of our salvation. It is the consequence. Just because we believe in Jesus Christ and we have impure righteousness, not because salvation is there, therefore we're righteous. Because many of them, many people say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but there's no righteousness in them. No righteousness is imputed upon them. Because there is need to be born again. Do you see what I'm talking about? Alright, so let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 9. Read that. Okay, Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 9. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man would one die, but peradventure for the good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So what is justification? Justification is just as I have not sinned. Okay, this is we are believing. Paul is saying that while we are sinners, even Christ died for us. And therefore we are justified by his blood. Okay? Now, so that is salvation. Okay, now, the thing is this. The righteousness being imputed upon us was based on faith. We go to another verse in scripture. Romans chapter 4. Alright, verse 1 to 5 onward. Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, have found? For if Abraham were justified by work, he would thereof to glory, but not before God. For what said the scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And to him that work is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that work not, but believe on him that justify the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So now, when we believe in Jesus, it is not mental faith. It is not just say, I believe that Jesus died for me. Right? There must be a real faith. So how does real faith come about? Through being born again. We need to be born again. Now let's look at many more verses. Romans 6. Romans 6, 16 to 22. Know you not that to whom you yourself servants to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey. Whether of sins unto death or obedient unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, think about it. Now you became the servants of righteousness. So those, even though righteousness was imputed upon those who are born again, you must be a servant of righteousness. Okay? I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Now listen to that. Huh? That was before you become a convert. You yield your members servant to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity unto iniquity unto iniquity, so to speak. Okay. Even so, now, you, your members, servant to righteousness, unto holiness, unto holiness, unto holiness, so to speak. Or, to righteousness, unto righteousness, unto righteousness. So, you see, once you were before an ungodly person, you your body, your flesh, to iniquity. But now, you are a believer. Faith is given to you. Righteousness is imputed upon you. So what are you now? Okay. Verse 20. But when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Of course. What fruit had you then in those things? What of you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Matthew 3. Alright. Verse 15. This is what I want you to remember all the time. When Jesus went into water for water baptism, and he had a conversation with John. And when John told him, look at him and said, well, you know, as you say that Jesus Christ is the Lord, he's the master, and John, he was the servant. And John said, you know, in verse 14, I have need to be baptized of you. And you come to me to be baptized? And you say, Lord, you know, you're the master, I am the servant, you should baptize me. But what Jesus said in verse 15? Answering him, Jesus said, suffer it be so now, for thus it become us to fulfill all righteousness. It behoove us, it become us to fulfill all righteousness. Think about the word righteousness. That's so when righteousness is imputed upon Abraham, he was to fulfill it. You understand what I mean? Just because you are a Christian and righteousness was imputed, doesn't mean that you have it. Because many times people think that they have it is because, well, they just read the Bible or hear what a sermon. Yeah, I'm a Christian. And then somebody will say, yeah, you're a Christian, yeah, you're righteousness. I'm justified. But there is no, you see, righteousness is it's something that we manifest in our life. Something that is fundamentally right that we should do it. As a Christian. Like a sheep. It is very fundamentally natural for him to produce wool. And for a cow, it is very natural for him to moo. Right. I mean, it's natural. For a dog, when you see the master come home, yep, so happy. It's something that is natural. So, righteousness must be natural things in our life. And we move from glory to glory. Okay, now furthermore, you remember what James said in chapter 2? About faith and work? Chapter 2, 14 to 26. James 2, 14 to 26. You remember what James said? Yeah, he showed you my faith. But I show me your faith, and I show you my faith with my works. Something that is fundamentally right, something that shows that you have a faith that works. that so is righteousness in Christ. So, he that is imputed righteousness, he must live righteously to prove that he has obtained justification. And as I said, many Christians out there, they're not truly born again. Not all Christians are Christian. A brother wrote in the Facebook, when I have a little testimony, you know, about my early life and my work, and I show some photos of when I was back in the years, in the 60s, 70s, when I was in the Assemblies of God, I was a soul winner, I was a prayer warrior, and things that we show, I would put it on a Facebook, and I mentioned that, you know, when I was early on, before I was in the Assemblies of God, I was in Baptist church, and I backslid for 2 years, and how the Lord brought me back. And so somebody wrote and asked a question. He said, "Brother, how come there are some that, you know, backslid so many times, several times, you know, keep backsliding? You know, why are some people backsliding several times again and again?" Now, let me I put a simple answer to it. If a person's backslide several times, you know, when you backslide, you come back. You backslide again, you come back. Right? Like Israel. So I said, if the last time he backslides and doesn't stay when he comes back, then he will be like Israel, whom God was scattered out to, you know, was scattered out to the winds, because not all Christians are Christian. Am I not right? Not all Christians are Christian. You see. So if you backslide one time for several months, then you come back, you cry, "Lord, forgive me." And after a few months you stay in the fellowship, and again a year later you backslide again, and out there in the world you go. And again you come back, time and time again. And if you don't stay for in the last time, when I say last time, you should know when. Be it the 11th time or the 12th time, when he comes back, he don't stay, he goes out there. God will scatter him through the wind, like God did to Israel. Because not all Israel are Israel. Not all Christians are Christians. Do you understand? Alright? So, but the person who is saved must live to show his faith that he is actually saved. Alright? So remember one thing. It is not just saying, "I believe the word." You understand? If you say, "I believe the word," but the question I'm asking, are you living the word? So don't just say, "I believe the word." You need also to live the word. And that's what righteousness is. Let's go and continue over to the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 6 onward. Because that is the chapter that tells us what righteousness is all about. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So one is the flesh, the carnal side, the old man. The other is a spiritually minded person who is truly born again. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Of course, no. It do whatever it wants. Neither indeed can be. You know, I have talked, you know, in my years of witnessing when I was young, and I witnessed a lot of people, there are some that, you know, they don't like to be told. You know, when I said, you know, "You're all born sinners." And, whoa, wait a minute. Are you just saying that I'm a sinner? I want to tell you I'm a good person. That's how they say. You see what I'm saying? There are a lot of people who think that they are not sinners. Because they know not God, they do what they want. They live a good life. They're kind to people, you know, things like that. They think that they are a saint. But the kind of mind is enmity with God, for it's not subject to the law of God, no, neither indeed can be. So then they are in the flesh, cannot please God. Now he's talking, Paul's talking to the believers. If you are a believer and you are in the flesh and still in the flesh, you can never please God. Do you understand? You know, the book of Romans is one of the salvation book, I would say, it tells us all about the human nature. Okay. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you, then if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Yeah, I'm a Christian. The carnally minded. And you call yourself a Christian, and Paul said, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, then what? Then you cannot be moving on to the carnal side. Huh? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And what is the Spirit of Christ? Righteousness. Remember I tell you that? What is the Spirit of Christ? It's life. It's righteousness. It's holiness. It's all that God is. Because that's the Spirit of God that dwells in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And if Christ being in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. That's what it is. Righteousness is imputed because you're born again and God gives you the Spirit of Christ in you. And if you say that you're born again, you're justified and all this, but you don't produce that work of righteousness, the law of righteousness is not seen in you. Okay. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, you remember this word, quicken your mortal body by his Spirit dwelling in you. And this is what is going to happen to us. If we don't have a Spirit dwelling in us, we can't be quickened. Don't expect it to be. We say we are quickened now. A lot of people say quickened now, but remember one thing, we move from glory to glory, righteousness to righteousness. That's what Paul said in Galatians, for we to the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, because there is something coming. Okay, let's continue. Therefore, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are adapted not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, put the old man, the body to death, as you say, bunnet it up like a corpse, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I always love this verse because I heard so often many times by Christians who read it in a different way. I'm a child of God, therefore I am led by the Spirit of God. No. I want you out there to remember this. Not because, just because he said, I'm a child of God, I'm led by the Spirit of God. No. Not necessarily. But if you are led by Christ, by God, then you are a child of God. Not because you can say that I'm a child of God, I'm led by the Lord. No matter ways. Every one of us have freedom. Right? You all can do whatever we want. It's a poison about the flesh and the spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, he will always follow him. Then you are son of God. For ye have received the Spirit, but ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. But you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in our soul. That's what Paul is talking about in Galatians. Something that is coming. Are you honest? Are you following me? Huh? Verse 19, then is there the answer given now. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So you can cross-reference this verse to Galatians 5:5. Huh? For the earnest expectation of the creature wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. So, when it comes, we read it in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8. That also is a cross reference verse to Galatians 5:5. Revelation 19, verse 8. Why John had this revelation? And here, when the bride is given this fine linen, And he says, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For fine linen is the righteousness of saints. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So, Galatians 5:5, for we to the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith, by revelation. Oh yeah. We are righteous, and we're not. We are imputed righteousness. But righteousness must be something that fundamentally right that we should do. And we live in the Spirit of Christ, therefore we move from glory to glory, righteousness to righteousness, faith to faith, glory to glory. Remember that? What is righteousness? It is something that God did to us, and that is Christ. Without Christ, there is no righteousness. I'm justified by faith because of the cross, because of the blood of Christ Jesus, because of His life. So when He gave it to me, His Spirit, when I'm born again, I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit, I'm born again. So if I'm born again in the Spirit of Christ, I must have the life of Christ. If I have the life of Christ, then I'm righteous. So if I'm righteous, the fruit of righteousness must be manifest. Are you following me? Show me your faith, and I'll show my faith with my works, what James said. Show me your righteousness, and I'll show you my righteousness with my work. Because that's what the Spirit wants me to manifest. Show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith from the Word of God. In the glory of God, I move from word to word, glory to glory, revelation to revelation. Because why? This is what we talk about in the book of Galatians all this past week. Zealous devotion to our Father. Not to the law, not to some ism, not to some person, or some prophet, or an apostle, whoever it may be. No. Yeah. Hey, Sister Isabel wrote me an email years ago when she came to the website to give her testimony. Or you can read it on the website. How that she was in the Southern Church out there. She said that, oh my, when certain preacher come at Eddie Basco, everybody wanted to touch him. Someone said his son was pushed to a corner and, you know. So you see, people are looking at some holy man. We don't want to look to a holy man. We want to look to a holy God. If we don't look to a holy God in the first place, what are we looking at? If we look to a holy God, we understand that God gives gifts unto men. And God allows a man to perform miracles. But yet, not all miracles, not all miracle workers are doing the work for God. They are workers of iniquity. Many of them. Matthew chapter 7 tells us that. They want to glorify themselves. So you understand now. So one of these days we will change and we will prove that is going to be the manifestation of the sons of God. Alright, Galatians chapter 5. Go back now. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So while we are waiting, let us go from glory to glory. Alright, faith to faith. Alright. Verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So now, whether you are circumcised or you are not circumcised, Paul wrote this because, you know, as I said, we already studied earlier, this false brand came by and spread all these doctrines that you need to be circumcised, and some people were so taken up by these doctrines, this new so-called revelation doctrine to be circumcised, and then they keep days and feasts and, you know, all these festivals. And therefore, Paul is therefore saying, now, whether you're circumcised, you're not circumcised. It means nothing. Okay? It avails to nothing. But faith which work by love. But faith which operate by love. What is this word love here? There are three words in Greek in love. Eros, philo, and agape. So what is this? It's always defined agape. Agape. Agape means the love of God. And the agape is only true love. A real true love. If you have that agape, you know, it's, you will love the brothers. Not filial them, but agape them. Remember what Jesus asked of Peter? Peter, lover thou me? And he was using the word agape. Peter, agape thou me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I filial thee. Wow. Christ asked him if he'll agape me, but he used the word that is lower, just a brotherly love. He loved Jesus like a brother. Huh? Jesus asked him again the second time, Peter, agape thou me? Lord, you know I filial thee. And the third time Jesus go along with Peter. Because Peter had not yet come to the revelation of it. He hasn't received the Holy Ghost baptism. But finally Jesus asked him, Peter, fill you down. Lord, you know I feel you. You know, we, the Bible said when we love one another, it's not just brotherly kindness, brotherly love. Huh? We shall agape one another because we are in the body of Christ. Is it difficult for us to love a brother and a sister with a godly love? And it doesn't mean to pamper the person, huh? Do you all understand? When time to be rebuked, when Jesus, even has spoken, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Truth is agape. Truth sets you free. Agape sets you free. If I don't want to tell you the truth, that you are, you're finished. There's no agape in me. I let you go your wrong way. You understand what this is? Okay, let's continue quickly. So, for therefore, as you say, that we need to operate things by love. Our faith is to be operated by love, by agape. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You've been running very well, but now who is hindering you? This persuasion come not of him that call you. Now, who have hindered you? You have run well, but who have hindered you? This persuasion, this doctrines of circumcision and all this that comes around. This persuasion, this teaching did not come from God, did not come from the one who called you. God did not send those men here. You have heard the truth, God has called you into the truth. Now you have this thing. This persuasion to be circumcised, this law keeping, God did not send this. Do you see? And that's what we have in this entire message movement. Huh? You know, people are saying, are you in the message? Are you in the message? What message? What message? I mean, there's a common word being used. Are you in the message? What message? End time message. ETM. Short form, you know, everybody want a quick fix at the ATM machine. Yeah, EDM, are you in the EDM? Well, what on earth is the entire message? You know. Is it exclusive? Brother, that's, you know what, sometimes message. It is just a mess. Let us get back to the word. Message is the word. Get back to the word. That's what Abraham said, right? Come back to the word. Come back to the word. What is the message? That's why I asked you, what is the message? I wrote that book, The Message of the Hour. What is the message of the hour? That was one of the first books I wrote years ago. I think it's the, was it early, somewhere now in the early 80s. Because people don't even know what the message is. Or it's a tape. See what Brother Abraham said. And so on and so forth. Alright. And we have people in, you know, over the years, I've seen people come and go. Huh? A woman, they say, yeah, this is the Trinity movement. Somebody come and persuade them and they go to the other side. Come back here, go someplace else. And in a minute, they are lost out there already. Why? Because of the confusion. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I say this, you need to make up your mind. On this side of the fence or on that side of the fence. Don't keep jumping over here and jumping over there, or just stay in the middle, or just sitting on the fence. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Paul is very serious about these things. Either you're fleshy, carnal, or you are godly and spiritual. A little leaven the whole lump. Yeah. A little leaven. This is a famous proverbs. You call it proverbial expression, whatever you call it. It is a very common saying among the Jews. A little leaven the whole lump. We all know that. Even it's a very ancient proverb. A little leaven the whole lump. Yeah, you get a little wrong teaching, all your teaching will be wrong. Do you know that? Yeah. That's why it's important. And so when it came to the message of the prophet to get me back into the Word, all my theological books went out the door. And even as that went out the door as a study, sometimes that tradition that you know you have learned all those years in the denomination is at the back there. You have to clear it up. You know, all those cobwebs are there. Yep. And the same thing, a little leaven only leaven the truth, but he also leaven the church. And I will see Paul said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but that he that trouble you shall bear his own judgment, whoever he be. Obviously. Everyone that did wrong, you know, God will judge them. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. Now, here we read, you have to see that Paul might have been, rumor must have spread that Elijah, that Paul was preaching circumcision. You understand? You see? And Paul said, if I did preach circumcision, then why am I still persecuted? Should not, right? They will even cut off which trouble you. I like this verse, because the thing is that when we read in this Bible here, in our King James times, they do not want to, especially anything that sounds so sexual or whatever, they try to use nice, smooth word, you know, not so offensive, not so, in those days of Puritans, you don't want, women in those days, as I said, is way back, they don't show their ankles or their knees. But today, it's not just they're showing their ankles and their knees, but they show everything. This is what Paul said. Now, when you're talking about circumcision here, right? You know what circumcision is, right? It's the cutting of the foreskin. Now, Paul here said, I would that they were even castrated. Cut off more of it. You know what I mean? You want to get circumcised just a little bit? Cut off the whole thing, so to speak. Oh my. You know, Paul used some strong words. Huh? Remember Paul talked about this. My education, all that which, you know, my education, whatever I learned, they are considered as dung, right? Correct? The word dung, because the English word, if you know what Paul said, it's a terrible word. You see, dung sounds not so bad. But what is it? I consider as feces. Oh, sounds terrible too, huh? Or the stronger word for help. Yeah, I would have that were even castrated, which trouble you. Not only that they castrated, but also that you cut them off. See, the word here is a play of word here. They were even castrated. These people who consider themselves circumcised, they should have circumcised a bigger part. And then In other words, it's a little bit cut off from you. And that's why it's important, you know, that in other places where Paul talks about putting away troublemakers and liars and, you know, fornicators and stuff and things like that. Alright. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. I have this verse in cross-reference, but I don't know what it is, but it is there. So let us look into it. Yeah, okay. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Put out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a clean new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Right. Got all those, you know, anything that is in you that is unleavened, that is not clean, I mean that is leavening, cut it off. You know. And even the church, cut it off too. Alright. Verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. By agape, serve one another. Huh? For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This 14, verse 14, look at it. Of course it's an expression word. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, that is this. So when he said one word, and Paul said, it's fulfilled in one word, and it is this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's not one word. How many words are there? I mean, you know. But when he said, Paul said, in one word, one sentence, one phrase, whatever. But if we were to use one word, what word will you use? What word will we use? Huh? For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Come on, you should know. What is that? Agape. Just one word. When you have agape in your life, what is agape? Agape is God's love. God came down, give it to you, this love. What will you do with that love of God? You respond, says, Abba, Father. Is that not right? Come on. You're looking at your Bible so intensely. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. God gave His love to us. We cry by Abba, Father. And no one else. Then we reach out to others, right? Correct? Not only love yourself, not only love God, not only love yourself, but love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? The one next door. Who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is the one sitting next to you. It could be anybody. The one sitting beside you in the bus or in the train, that's your neighbor. Anyone around you is called your neighbor. Understand? Alright. That's why sometimes when I read the Bible, you can see the word, the way Paul expresses it. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. You stop fighting one another, you get into trouble. And this one happened in the past in the churches out there, or in this end time message church in the other big church. They fight until they split and they split and split. Until, wow, what happened to them now today? And more than 100 people. And disappear until what happened? And the pastor disappeared and went over to America now, living an American life. And he had no ministry. Huh? And what about his brother-in-law? Yeah. Took about 80 people, I was told, around that. And they split again. And I don't know how many he got now. And there's other groups staying there, here and there. There were five or six of them, or maybe. Take your tape, a cassette, put in a cassette player, press play, and obey. That sort of thing. My, you see what I mean? Alright? Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Remember again, walk, walk, walk. It's about our walk. And that you may not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Of course. That's the law side. That's the grace side. That's the death side. That's the life side. Huh? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. And that's the what Brother Bam talks about, that the way in Nietzsche. Yeah.
And it's kind of good analogy, huh? Because when Brabham fed him after some time, he said, how are you doing? He said, oh my. You know, before I know Christ Jesus, I have no problem, you know, but now I have these two dogs in here. The black dog and the white dog. Right? I mean, that's what Indian talks. You know, Indian talks, the black dog and the white dog, you know, black dog represents the flies of the devil and the darkness, and white dog represents God and Christ and holiness. And Brabham said, which one wins? Brabham did not try to have a dialogue with him, saying, you know, just ask him a question, which one wins? And then they say, if I feed the white dog wins, and if I feed the black dog wins. Obviously. So feed your spirit, not your flesh. Verse 18. For if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the law of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, it means many more. There are 17 of you down here that Paul listed, but he couldn't continue. That's a whole long list. And he says, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I already told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Look at this list here. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It's not just talk about the physical side, but also your, you know, against the word as well. Idolatry, that is witchcraft. Idolatry. Oh my, there are a lot of people that worship Brother Branham. Huh? Hatred. Against, no, there are a lot of people that hate me. And there was one fellow on my Facebook. He started coming in, and I don't know him, and he started calling me names, and bad names, and people tell me, what are you doing? You see, that's evil, and he's a Branhamite. I wonder, if the Branhamites are truly in love with God and have the real faith, right? Why are they behaving like that? Alright? And murder and drunkenness and so on and so forth. How can you have the Spirit of God in you? If you claim to have this, the kingdom of God, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God, which is the Spirit of God. Because when you talk about the kingdom of God, there must be a king, and a king is Christ, and Christ is the Spirit in the midst of us all. He's the king. But the fruit of the Spirit is this. How many are there? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And there are nine. And nine is a number, in Bible numeral, nine is the last number of a single digit. The next is ten. Ten is two digits and represents the law. Both sets. Two tablets. It represents the Ten Commandments. But nine is finality. It's always represent the Holy Spirit. The nine gift, yeah, the nine fruit, and so on. Nine is final. Alright, eight is resurrection. I do not remember all those numbers. Verse 24. And they that are Christ. Okay, let me. Where are we? Okay, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and the lust. Therefore, of course, that should be true. We are Christ, we crucify all those fleshly things. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's what I'm talking about. You say you have the Spirit of Christ in you, that's the life, then live the life by your walk. Now, what is a walk of life every day when I said, for example, as a doctor, what is his walk every day? It's always, what do you call, treating the patient, treating here, this patient, treating that patient. That is his walk. Because he's a doctor. He has the spirit of doctoring. So, if we have the Spirit of Christ, how do we walk? We walk in the Spirit of Christ. We do all those work, manifest the spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Alright? Verse 26. Let us not be desires of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know what vainglory is, huh? There are a lot of people just like that who are not called of God. They just want to be somebody. And this is what these false brethren were doing. Deep in the days of Paul's epistle to this Galatian. You know, this is what they did. They went around, you know, persuading, proselyting the people, say you need to be circumcised. And they expound to them as if something great, you know, I have the people there in the entire message. They're extreme. They can really expound using Barabbas' code. And they come up with a very strange doctrine. You see. And that's why we have all this idolatry. Chapter 6. Alright, so let us not be desire of vainglory, but perverting one another. Envy one another. You know, we encourage one another, look upon somebody else and be blessed by what they can offer. Alright. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of the meekness, considering thyself, lest you also will be tempted. Bear you one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man be taken over in fault, I mean truly that a person is repenting, something he did something wrong. You know. What we do, of course, we're considered spiritual. We try to have a little understanding with him and try to restore him back to the Word. We all know that every one of us have weaknesses. So when we see some brother or sister fall along by the roadside, stop by and say, you know, you're going the wrong way and help him or her. Knowing that one of these days you might also fall in some way and somebody can come and help you. Do you understand that? Alright, we bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. And I want you to read in three more verses, I want to explain something here. Bear you one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceive himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, verse 5 and verse 2. Bear one another's burden. Verse 5 says, every man shall bear his own burdens. So you see the word burden here? Bear one another's burden. Next moment, Paul says, everyone bear your own burden. So is there a conflict here and discrepancy in the Bible? So what is her part of? Verse 2. Bear you one another's burden means to say, when you see a brother have a heavy load, the word burden in both places are two different words. Verse 2 is this, talking about a heavy load. Some person who's, for example, someone in the fellowship, you know, going through some kind of hardship all of a sudden. Oh, a good example is times are bad and farmers up there, you know, you're all farmers up in the old patch of land and someone's patch of land been destroyed by pest. Huh? And you've got nothing. Whatever you harvest is not enough for the family. And all those other brethren who have bountiful, plentiful, what do we do? We help the brother, right? It's a heavy load for him because he worked hard and now the harvest is not there for him. You understand that? Or somebody lost his job and he has family to take care of. What would the rest do? So we bear one another's burden and so we fulfill the law of Christ. And if any man thinks himself to be somebody when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Oh yeah, we have plenty here in Singapore. Yeah, many of them will consider themselves somebody when they are nobody. And there are people who try to correct me. When I was in Africa, two men came to my room and tried to convert me to their ism. And when I made my stand, they said, oh, you're not preaching, brothers. Brothers, man said, you know, you got up preaching this. And touch sail the Lord. And they prophesied some destruction upon my life. And I looked at them and I said, if that is true, then I won't be around. But I'll still be around. You know, I said, your prophecy is a lie. And this is not the first time there. I go 2-3 times there, proper prophesied destruction in my life. Ha! When people think bad of you, what? It's okay. That means, if people think good of you, that's no good, huh? When people think bad about you because you are a child of God and you stand for the truth, then you know you are right with God. Paul is not worried. Verse 4. For not every man prove his own work. Prove your own work. Whatever work that God has put in you. And that's why I thank God for some of you brothers here. Do whatever you need to do in the ministry. And without Brother Jonan, you know, I'm glad that we have all this instrument, all this thing that he knows what to do. And now you have brother, my son, and Brother Pasikam in the help, and Brother Yifan, all that to, you know, to do whatever he can in case that he's not available. Any, you know, even stay on. Yeah. You know, whatever word that God has put on us, whatever part that we are supposed to, we are member of the body of Christ. Whether you're a little pinky here, or whether you're the thumb, whether your nose, or ear, whatever it is, every member in the body of Christ have a purpose. And so do your work. So the foot cannot say, hey, you know, I want to be the hand. You are not a hand, you are a foot. Good point? You see. So if you think yourself to be somebody when you are not, then you deceive yourself. You make a fool of yourself. Oh yeah. I really, my heart goes up to these people. Talk to them for several times. They turn around and speak all sorts of things against me. What could I do? Because I know they are not all believers are believers. Not all Christians are Christians. The Bible talks about true worshippers, not just worshippers. Are you a true worshipper or just a worshipper? Worshipper you find out every Sunday in all these churches. But true worshipper worship God in spirit. Oh yeah, you can find them, they say they're worshipping God in spirit. Because they say hallelujah and all that wave, and sure good. But are they worshipping God in truth? Oh yeah, it's true though, there's a Father, there's a Son, there's a Holy Ghost. And they believe whatever they want, a doctrine. Brother and sister, we worship God in spirit and in truth. Not just one. Both. And which is very hard to do. I remember read Westboro in a testimony of a minister who said about Brother Branham when he was discussing with some ministers. And there was this preacher out there who is known as the father of Pentecost. Because he's the I can't remember what they call him. Because he's supposed to be the one who actually make a big thing out of this Pentecostal movement. You know, and he liked to be, praised. My brother was now, talking about Brother Manson, about a cat. They say, if you have a cat and you stroke the cat from the back, forward to the head, and see what happens. Have you tried stroking a cat backwards? Very strange. You know, you stroke a cat from the head down to the butt. It's meow, meow, right? But you stroke the other way. What happened? You get bitten. Get scratched. Yep. How true that is. Alright, let's continue with that. Verse 4. Let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. If you prove your work, you rejoice in yourself. You know, I rejoice in myself for what God has called me to do, and I proved the work and did it. Like Paul, how they say, he had, what did Paul say? He ran the race. Huh? You have finished. You see, the thing is this, that Paul ran the race, did his work for what he was called to do. He didn't glory in anybody else. He glory in Christ. And you he glory in himself for what he had done. And that's why he said, I am a prisoner of Christ, an apostle of Christ. He dared to say that because he knows who he was. But today you are as a minister, did God call you to preach? Hey, that's a personal question. That's a personal question. No, you ask a pastor, are you called of God? Hey, that's a personal question. No, why are you a pastor? Did God call you? If God called you, say you. Yeah, God called me. If God didn't call you, say, well, no, I just feel like to do good. God bless you. And learn. Verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. You know what is this burden now? This burden is your own task, your service. Huh? You buy your own burden of service. You, if you are an apostle, you need to do the work. It's a burden you have. That's why you know, the burdens of all those churches out there is on me. Over the years, you know, the hardship that I've been. Now, I remember back then when Zoe was young, I think it was in primary school and going later on go to secondary, you know, she cried when I go overseas. Because I guess that, you know, a young girl, the father's gone overseas, maybe he's not coming back. Africa, you know, Africa, another continent. I mean, that's natural. I bear my own burden when I went over there. The suffering I've been through in many countries, the food I was there, the lodging and all that thing. So this time, when I look at Paul, yep, Paul was a simple man. I want to be a simple man too. Alright. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches it in good or in all good things. So those of you are taught, you know, you communicate with those who teach you. Alright. Verse 4. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. Yeah, that's for sure. That's the law. What you sow, you reap. That's for sure. You sow wheat, you get wheat. You sow corn, you get corn. You sow all those false doctrines, you will be in trouble with God. Because you're going to reap a lot of false converts out there. Do you see? And there's a Paul, you heard this? And this letter was read among the people out there in Galatia. And there are those who were converted by these false brethren, and maybe some of them are still there. Huh? And this is a warning that Paul gave. God is not more. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And you continue to go around in the fellowship, trying to convert people, and say they need to be circumcised. This did not come from God. You see. You know, in those days of Paul, the readers can see, you know, there's no difference because history repeats itself. Huh? A church is being infiltrated by these false brethren. And here in our fellowship, over the years, we have that too. Yeah. Do you understand? So we need to discern. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I don't want to be responsible for sowing anything that is corrupt. Because before, in the day when I stand before God, or before Christ, what would I hear from him? Depart from me! I never knew you. You're workers of iniquities. See, it doesn't matter how big your ministry is, how good you have, you know, been doing. That's what Matthew 7, Jesus said, so many come to me and ask, they say, Lord, I've done this in your name, in your name, in your name. And they use the name of Jesus. But they were not doing it for God, they were doing it for their own vainglory. Do you understand? Alright? Verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not all. You know, this last 2 years, I feel very weary. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. I feel very weary. Not because of the pandemic issue, you know. It's just because, you know, all of a sudden, December 2020, suddenly my spinal degeneration became bad and I got this pain that shoot up into the head. You know, from the back here, it was already having a lot of pain, and so they shoot up to the top. Ah, the pain was terrible. You know. And it come on and off so often after that. And sometimes it just locked. The pain just come and lock, and I cannot move it. You know. So if I move it, it snaps. And the pain shoots. Oh my. And then after few weeks later, the pain went to my shoulder, to my hand, then down to the back, to my back of my body, and down to the sole of my feet. Oh my, it's burning. It's very hard to walk. And get on me, no more, got this headache. Yeah, and I think, Lord, I'm tired anyway. You know, am I still going to go overseas? And then this pandemic drags, and then now we're all live streaming. And then we don't know what's going on, how long it's going to go on. And I say, if this is over, would I be still going over to other countries and do my work? And I can't actually walk properly now. You know, sometimes the burning is just very irritating. But then you know what I do? Well, just worship the Lord, cast everything upon Him, and I just think, Lord, give me one more time to go to Africa. All right. Yep. Paul said, be not weary. And I think many times too, he was in a state of weariness, you know. But he continued to work. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. All the years my apostolic ministry out there, I'm so happy to see the reaping, the harvesting, the people that respond. You know, people like Brother Nice, Brother Andrew Peary out there, Brother Ourselves, and all those in Africa, also in the, Zambia, Zimbabwe. And words are going out. And that's what people say, it's free advertisement. And people start attacking you. They are telling everybody, hey, this is Richard Gunn. And the people say, who is this Richard Gunn? And they decided to say, let me find out. And that's what Brother Nice did. He said, I heard about this video, I want to find out. And so they found out. And the truth I have. And all those years I did not faint. People are starting thinking, but now as Paul said, you know, in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. As we have time for opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are called of the household of God. Do good unto all men, but especially in the household of God. Right? Huh? Yeah. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. Now this is the letter, I don't find any other places where any other piece of Paul wrote like this. All the piece of Paul wrote is either dictated by him to Timothy or somebody else, you know, to write. But this one, he is alone. And then he said, how big a letter? And he's writing with his own hand. He said that. You see how large a letter I have written to you with my own hand. Large letter means big fonts, big. You know what I mean? Yeah. Big letters. Because he couldn't see properly because of his eyesight. But he patiently write it. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross. So I mean, these people here, Paul talked about as many as to make a fair show in the flesh, these people do to avoid persecution from the Jew because of the cross. They preach and they want to zealously get you to circumcise. Yeah, they want to please those other people, other group. Now here in the end time movement, message thing, there are people they want to please others. Well, I know they want to join to the big group. You know, I'd rather preach the gospel, I'd rather preach simplicity, I'd rather preach the truth. I want to identify with people. You know. Verse 30. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. And these people, they are circumcised, they don't even keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Oh, remember? Hey, brother, you know what? I got so and so circumcised. You know, they make a big show of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. One of these days, somebody might say, oh, I got to talk to this Richard gang, you know, and give him a big rebuke. You know, they want to show off that they are somebody. Yep. So these are the ones, you know, they want to get people circumcised so they may glorify in your flesh that you are circumcised. Oh, I got you circumcised, praise the Lord. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The world is dead to me. I glorify in the cross of Christ. The world is dead to me. Everything that is beggarly, all these beggarly elements of the world, that I'm dead to it. And they are dead to me. They don't affect me. All this pressure thing out there, this carnal thing out there, this carnal glory thing, vainglory. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availed anything. Again, he repeat this. Neither circumcision availed anything, nor circumcision, but a new creature. A new creation. Are you a new creation? Are you a new creature? So whether you're circumcised or you're not, mean nothing. But as many as walk according to this rule, this principle, this teaching that I've given you, only in Christ you glory. Circumcised or not circumcised mean nothing. The flesh means nothing. So as many as I walk according to this principle, this rule, peace be unto them and mercy upon the Israel of God. Oh, the Israel of God. Who is the Israel of God? Not the Jew, but you. But us. We are the spiritual Israel. We are the true Israel. Why? There are people out there. I know one preacher, well, the preacher said, no, there's no such thing as spiritual Israel. What rubbish is he talking about? He don't even know his Bible. When God gave a promise to Abraham, was Abraham a Jew? Was he a Jew? Or was he a Gentile? He was not a Gentile. He was not a Jew. Is that right? He was a Hebrew. Oh, Hebrew. Hebrew is a Jew. No, the Hebrew is not a Jew. Hebrew means somebody from the other side. We Chinese say, Guakok Panga. Huh? Means somebody from another nation to come here. A foreigner. An alien. And God called him. He was not a Jew, nor Gentile. There was none yet to divide. Because the whole world were what? From three sons of Noah. Right? Is that right? And unto Abraham, give him a promise. A seed. The seed was not Israel. The seed was Christ. And that's the true Israel. What is Israel? It means Prince of God. Right? Yes.
So that's what Paul is saying there. Such money as well according to the rule, peace be upon them, mercy upon and mercy and upon the church, the spiritual. Israel. Huh? And henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, let nobody trouble me. Now I already told you the truth. All this about circumcision, it means nothing. Don't let this false brother come to you. Now I told you everything. Don't come and bother me again with this. You know, Paul explains so much. But there will always be people. The hearing, they hear not. Right? Their ears are dull hearing. So in conclusion, brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Be with your spirit. Amen. So, we finished the book of Galatians. Zealous devotion to what? To what? I'm asking you a question. What? Your zealous devotion. What are you devoted to? To our God, Yahweh, Yahshua, and the Word. Devoted in worship to Him. All is just simply based on one word. Agape. And when we have agape, we know how to walk in the Spirit. Is that right? How to walk in the Spirit. We run the race. We have a higher ground. As Paul said, that's what all about righteousness. If we are pure righteousness, we move from righteousness to righteousness, from glory to glory. As Paul said in the book of Corinthians, going up on higher ground, going upward until the day comes when this body will be changed. And we'll put a fine linen, which testify of the righteousness of the saints. And then the whole world would know when we sit with Christ in His throne in the millennium. And then the whole world will see the manifestations of the sons of God. And then you see the righteousness of God, or of Christ, in His church. And the Lord bless you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your grace, thank you for your love. Once again, Lord, thank you for your word. Let our heart rejoice, Father, in the things that Thou hast shown us, Lord. Rejoice in the treasure. Rejoice in the food. Rejoice in the nutrient. Rejoice in everything, Father, that is given and granted to us. We thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, I have seen years of hurt. But, Lord, there are so much wonderful things still waiting for us. And, Lord, as you walk from day to day, from glory to glory, may our eyes, O Lord, continue to behold the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your grace then. Bless the rest of the day once again, we ask, in Jesus' name.